To glorify God is the title of the message. The passage is Luke in chapter 19:29-40 with the key verse. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God. And the passage is in Luke chapter 19 verse 29-40. When Jesus had finished saying all this, he went toward Jerusalem. It was getting near Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples on ahead. He told them, go into the next village where you will find a young donkey that has never been ridden. Untie the donkey and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are doing this, just say, the Lord needs it. They went off and found everything just as Jesus had said. While they were untying the donkey, its owners asked, why are you doing that? They answered, the Lord needs it. Then they led the donkey to Jesus. They put some of their clothes on its back and helped Jesus get up. And as they rode along, the people spread clothes on the road in front of him. When Jesus started down the Mount of Olives, his large crowd of disciples were happy and praised God because of all the miracles they had seen. They shouted, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God. Some Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, make your disciples stop shouting. But Jesus answered, if they keep quiet, these stones will start shouting. The title, to glorify God. The key verse is found in this passage, chapter 19, verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the heights. Our pastor will come and share the message to glorify God. Welcome to the congregation to come and worship with us. And we're thankful for the opportunity to celebrate the birthdays in the first quarter. We're thankful also for the gifts that has been prepared. This morning, the message title is to glorify God. We have something very special. This is Jesus is coming into Jerusalem in a glorified way. And this is not happenstance. And this has been prophesied in the Old Testament. And then Jesus fulfilled this prophecy as he came into Jerusalem. Let's pray for our life to be of one heart with the crowd, with his disciples, to praise the glory of God. There's a story about a pastor. A young man had just become a pastor of a large church. At a reception given him by his people, and one of the gossips, a woman with a dangerous tongue, came up and said, this woman liked to gossip, and he greeted the pastor. If she knew how the secret of pastor she will pass on. And she asked, I do not understand how you dare attempt to attempt the task of pleasing 700 people. How could you handle to please all these 700 people? Quick as a flash, the Lord gave him the answer. The pastor replied, I did not come to the city to please. I did not come to please the 700. I have come to please only one. And that's our Lord. If I please him, all will be well. We pray that our life not to please each other. Our life is to please the Lord. And our life, we are pleasing the Lord. Then we will please each other. God will be glorified in your life and my life. And so the disciples, they shouted, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest heaven. We have that. We wishing that our God will be glorified. What will we do for the Lord to glorify him? And let's pray so that we can learn from his word how we can glorify him. Let's pray. Dear our Heavenly Father, the one who always, forever to ever, glory will belong to you and only to you. You will lead our lives so that the rest of your life, those that we can glorify and please him, and those days that we will lift up our glory to praise your name. You have created your reconciliation between man and God. And the Lord has returned to your glory. From there, all the knees will bow down before you and praise your name. We are thankful because today we belong to you. We have the lift to praise our Lord. And we have responsibility to express the way that glorify God. May your word to lead you. The principle we can apply to our life so you can be pleased with us. And through me, we can glorify you. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three portions in this that we will learn together that we can glorify God. The first is that God is glorified when we obey his word. When we come into the Bethany and Jesus sent two of his disciples. He told them, go into the next village where you will find a young donkey that has never been ridden. Untie the donkey and bring it here. Two disciples without any name. We don't know who they are. But that means when God gave the responsibility, he can send anyone. He didn't have to name names. But when Jesus said his commandment could be, is very difficult. You think that he sent two disciples and said, go to the next village, see a donkey tied there, never ridden, untie the donkey and bring it in. Is that an easy task? No, it's not. This belongs to somebody else. It's not belonging to Jesus, not even the disciples. If we come and get the donkey and then you beat up, this is not a simple thing to do. But when God said, go into the village, see a donkey tied there, he is telling them that when they come, you will see exactly what Jesus has told them. Because he's a prophet, he knows everything. But the fact that to bring a donkey, it is our thinking, oh, that's very difficult. Oh, I cannot be a thief here, that we reason. But they went and they saw everything that was told by Jesus. We're thankful here because Jesus gave them a way of Did everybody open the donkey like that? Hands up, because the Lord needs it. Now, Jesus prepared a way to answer. If that person doesn't know who the Lord is, would they let them get the donkey? Probably not. But the faith made these two disciples to obey, to go to the next village, to take the donkey back to Jesus. This is a challenge of yours and mine. Sometimes the command that Jesus gives is not so simple, but it's also difficult, challenging, because it requires to express our faith in the God, the commandment of Jesus. There are many studies, maybe in the tradition, they could welcome foreigners and to be a favor to give, or maybe the locals who have a favor to give the donkey, they would to borrow that donkey. But they don't know who Jesus is. These two disciples are strangers. There is nothing to show that they are the student of Jesus. Or the owner of the donkey might not know who Jesus is. And some would explain that maybe Jesus has some relationship with the owner of the donkey. And at that time, I will send my two disciples there. And then that man would do that. If you can tell them the Lord, maybe that's a secret phrase, passphrase, and then the local will give the donkey to the Lord. There are many reasons. There are different explanations. The fact that Jesus gets the donkey. But to me, I feel one thing. Jesus may have a prior relationship with the owner of the donkey. And because of the tradition of the locals treating the foreigners. But that is not the authority of Jesus as God. Jesus is God. Jesus knows the heart of the people believing in Him. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 3, but God has no doubts about who loves Him. And so, whether that person loves them, if one person loves the Lord, God knows the heart of that person. And so, God knows the owner of the donkey, if we say the Lord needs it, and the owner of the donkey is ready to give the donkey to the disciples. Because God knows, Jesus knows, when Jesus came into Jericho, and there's a crowd following him, and there are many loving the Lord, but God came to the tree and went up there and Zacchaeus, come down. Today I will be in your home. Is that strange? Who is Zacchaeus? He is an official, very rich. Why? Because he is a tax collector. And because of that, the people in Jericho are very hating Zacchaeus. They have no relationship. He is so short. And so the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus and Zacchaeus. He had to climb on the tree. He thought that he would go through this road. And so he climbed ahead of and climb up on that tree. Who is Jesus that the crowd is following him? Jesus came to that tree. Zacchaeus, come down. Tonight, I will spend the night with you. Because all the people are questioning, does Jesus know Zacchaeus is a sinner? He is a tax collector. Why did Jesus come into the tax collector to stay the night there? Is there any other better place? Are there any other disciple who loved them? Why did he come to Zacchaeus, a sinner? The congregation, in everybody's eyes, Zacchaeus is a sinner. And in the eyes of Jesus,
This is the son of Abraham, Zacchaeus. That means somebody who has faith. And Jesus denied, I will tell you to Yahweh. Jesus can see the heart of Zacchaeus when he opened his heart to receive Jesus into his home. That joy will open his financial condition to give. I will take half of what I have to give to the poor, and whoever I heard, I will repay four times as much. Then come Peter. If Jesus see the heart, then Jesus said, do not, I will be in your hands. Because Jesus did. When Jesus went into the temple and gave money and put it in those offerings, but she pointed out a widow, this one gave the most. Oh, strange. Only the two pennies. The rest, they have golden coins, but Jesus said, this woman gives because after that she has nothing else. And the rest, outside of what they give, they have a lot of money at home. He said, God does not look at the end, but look in her, in the heart. Jesus means, and Jesus gave praise to this widow who gave two pennies. Praise to be God, because Jesus can see everything that is happening when the crowd is following, listening to him go to Bethsaida. And the disciples, it's in the evening. When you send them away, they don't have it. No, you have to keep them. Where do we find the money, Jesus? A 5,000. That's only the men for thing. What about the women, the children? Could be 10,000. Where do we get the money, Jesus? To feed the 10,000. And they don't have maybe 298. The need. Not enough to buy food for this crowd. But when Jesus keep them here, why did Jesus say, you yourself will feed them? Because Jesus do that. During this time, there is a young child will give the Lord 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus knew ahead of time. And so he's telling them, you don't have to send them away. From this 5 loaves of fish and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they will feed them. In 2009, when our old church on the building there, and our mother church is the circle church, and so that, and we did not have a festival, and we returned to that chapel, that mother church, in 2 years, and this is in the afternoon from 2 to 4. That's not very really what really to attend. We have a few, but God gave us a vision that we will buy a house. It is very clear vision. We will buy a church lot. Will we have a fund of humanity? And some of us, we don't have enough to have. Maybe 30,000. Is it okay? No. I just vision that God. So the plan is to raise 100,000 to start. In a very short time, we collect 132,000. Isn't that a miracle? Because God knows in the heart of each one of us. And I said, where does that money come from? I said, I don't know. But Jesus knows. God can use the heart. God can use people from evil. That we will have a down payment for our project. And so we bought this church facility in 2011. We borrow additional funds to pay. And the governing board come to the decision that each month we'll pay. And in 15 years, we will repay the loan. But we pay off this loan in a few months, from July 2011, and that December, we paid the rest. Because God knows, God see in your heart, those who have lift up our finances to the Lord, give offering, and pay more than this day. God knows. And so, we have the blessing of this church, this facility. God knows to serve Him, the heart, to contribute our findings in whatever situation we find ourselves in. God knows our heart, knows everything. So when Jesus sent two disciples, and none of them has anybody names, could be you and me. But everything these can only have to be obedient. When we obey the Lord, God will be glorified. John recounted in John verse 15, they did not understand why Jesus sent them. They didn't know what's the reason. Why did God send them? They did not understand. But the Bible said, when they see the glory that Jesus was praised, now they understand when God is praised, when riding on the donkey to Jerusalem. But when the thing happened, we can see the glory of God. So if we want to be glorified, we have to be obedient what God commands us to do. Because this is the way we glorify God, glorify our Lord Jesus. How many times Jesus said, we do not listen. We examine our own. Have we not obeyed Jesus? Jesus is glorified when we obey His commandment. If you obey, then God will be glorified. The second point, let's hear, is that God is glorified when our chains are broken. Are you in chain? Jesus wants to use a donkey. He said to them, when you see a donkey tied, you have to untie, bring it back to me. New communication. When Jesus uses donkey, maybe he doesn't understand why. But there is a value, very special, because this is fulfilling the prophecy in the Old Testament. And with the word prophecy, it will be fulfilled. That's the prophecy. Here the donkey has been tied. It must be untied, brought back. Who tied it? Maybe the owner who tied it. But this donkey can be released only the can be untied for Jesus. In the Old Testament, when the Israel led out of Egypt into the Promised Land, they walked about to Israel. But their mind and their heart is where? Still back in Egypt. They remember there, they are meat and their pickles, very good. But they remember that all those good food back home in Egypt, but they have forgotten. They were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. In your mind, in my life, when we walk along, maybe we have something that ties us up. That Jesus said, if you follow me, that you love brother and sister and mother more than me, it's not worth it to be meet my disciple who could not pay the price to carry the cross to follow Jesus. It's not worthy of him. So, Jesus did not want us to be imitating Egypt. We're walking towards the promised land, but we are looking back. We want to, Jesus want to look forward, not back. Somebody asks you, why do you untie the donkey? Answer them, the Lord, he said. They did when they untied the donkey and they have asked him, why did you do that? When do you need that? And simple answer, because the Lord needs it. Why did Jesus want a donkey? Because Jesus is so tired? No, Jesus wasn't tired. The reason Jesus got, not because Jesus was tired of walking, because to have something that to be proud of on the donkey, Jesus wanted to fulfill the prophecy. What God words in the Old Testament as a prophecy must be fulfilled. Zachary, 520 years before, talk about your king will come to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And we know that this event is happening as he was walking toward Jerusalem, new congregation. All the things in your life and my life, all different aspects in our life, is tying us up that God could not use it. Maybe we have some dream, the rest of the world. If people buy the house, we have to buy the house. If they have a good car, we buy a car. We are coveting. And maybe all those dreams has tied us up that we could not serve the Lord. We could not pay the price. Maybe we are tired because of our time. Because we could not fulfill the work. We could not invest all our time in our work to our money that we do not have time to worship Him. Maybe we are tired because of our friends. They live that way. If we don't live the way they do, they won't be our friends anymore. If we don't have their friends, we will be lonely and our life will be closed to have the kind of life not pleasing to the Lord. Maybe we are tired because of entertainment in times. Well, we are pressing with our fingers. We can press our fingers on our phone. And from the old to the young, new generation, our lives will have some entertainment that we can only resolve here and now. That we could not turn our heart toward everlasting things that is pleasing to the Lord. May our mind will be tied by our benefits. Some would not be behind others. Wherever they are, I have to be the same. And so maybe we are being tied by our selfishness. Where somebody is hurting us, somebody has said something bad or something that causes harm. They don't go to church because somebody has hurt them. Nobody wants to work, but somebody has hurt them. Why? We can, because somebody else that forget the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And because somebody else, we make our relationship with God to become broken. New congregation. Maybe we are being tied because of tradition, our habits. From here, I have done it so many times. That's how we do it again. We cannot change. And we just say, this is the time I have to sleep. I couldn't come. This is the time I have to do this and that. And I have to do laundry. I don't have time to go to church. The time we have to make repair for my house, we have forgotten. We forgot that relationship. Can we do it later? Yes.
after church, yes, but we are being tied up. And so, Shalai will many things that are tying up our life. If your life cannot be untied, then Jesus could not use us. And here, Jesus said, you have to come untie that donkey. Whoever asks, the Lord needs it, is your answer. Because God needs your life and my life, that Jesus wants us to be untied so that God can use our life. There's a story of Xing Zhang and the student of Confucius in China. And one day, the wife went to the market and her son said, and he was crying, wanted to follow the mother to the market. And the mother said, why don't you stay? And when I come, I will kill the pig to feed you. Oh, so the son said, oh, that's very good. And then the market, she came back. Oh, why don't you kill the pig for me? There are many good pigs. But that's the inheritance that the family. No. I cannot kill him. But then the child keep crying. You promised me, the child said. And then Xing Zhang see them crying. Why did you cry? And the wife said, when I promised my child, our child, and Xing Zhang, he took those pigs and killed. Oh, they were just kidding from me. And Xing Zhang told his wife, if you don't teach, whatever the parents will do, the child will imitate. And so now, if we do not kill the pig, that means we are teaching them how to lie. And that's how they will conduct his kingdom. So he has to kill. And because of just a kidding from the wife, just to, he had to take the, kill the pig. Xing Zhang has paid a price so that the wife's words will come true. We have to untie these, we have to pay the price to untie these cords. But if a person could not pay the price to untie these, in all these, Jesus could not use us. So, because God needs, let you open and untie all the cords that binds me. Little Lord, you must to see the cords that bind different aspects of life that Jesus can use. Our character, our selfishness, and all the activities in society, all the cords that bind us there, that prevent us from our worship, from our contributing to the word of the Lord. We need them to be unlocked. The third point that we can think together, that to glorify God when we are ready for the Lord. This is the time when Jesus came to Jerusalem in glorified in victory that was prophesied in 520 years ago. First, we see that this, the readiness of the owners of the donkey, when the disciple came to took the way the donkey, the owner said, why do you do it? Why do you take on it? Because the Lord needs it, they answered. And then the owner let them take the donkey. Jesus knows the heart of this owner. Jesus knows this heart of it when the Lord needs it. I believe one thing that though the owner, there are many other donkeys, they can give one of the donkeys. But though this is the only donkey, he is ready to give up his donkey because of his heart for the Lord. We can also see this donkey ready for the world. If this donkey is a young donkey, nobody has ridden it, and it's tied there. In Matthew, we see that there are two donkeys, the mother donkey and then a younger donkey. When I was in Vietnam, there are horse-driven chariots, and these image is something very beautiful when the horse-drawn chariot is going. And now it is a visitor center, and they make some chariot very beautiful for the people come to visit the city where I live, and they have the horse who give word to the pony when they would tie the pony along with the horse. Why don't you tie the pony to go along with the horse? Is it to feed? No. It's not about feeding the pony. Here, when the pony continue to follow the chariots, and when they grow up, and then when they are the time, then there's no resistance from the pony. They have the habit now to run along the chariot. So there was no resistance from the pony when that person grew up. So in Matthew here, the Zacchaeus, Zachariah, there will be a donkey next to that monkey. But when Jesus was riding, which one? The young one who never been ridden before. There was a mother donkey that has been riding. And now the young donkey, and this donkey has been trained to be right on the congregation. The event that our response to the Lord to be at the right timing of the Lord's will, and that will glorify the Lord when we are ready to move. Oh, I don't want to help that person. There will come some different, we know that somebody is not what God commanded us to do. It doesn't mean anything. God is glorified when God's will wants us so that we can carry out His will in the time that He wants us to do. And when God wants us, we respond to the Lord. We are ready for the Lord. God will be glorified. And this donkey has become a ready donkey. They left the donkey, Jesus, and they put their clothes on the back and then lift Jesus up onto him. The donkey did not resist. He is ready to carry Jesus. And we also see when Jesus rode on the donkey in verse 36, and as he rode along, the people spread clothes on the road. And there's a crowd ready. When Jesus came, they waved the palm tree and they put their clothes on the road so the donkey can walk across. Those ready are praising God. They are ready. They shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Dear congregation, there is a crowd who praise the Lord. But there are others who refuse to praise Him. And some of us may not praise God and ready for us. Why don't you keep the crowd quiet? Some of the Pharisees. But Jesus said, if they keep quiet, these stones will start shouting. Oh, it is very strong. How could the stone cry out? Do you think that Jesus is joking? No. Jesus is not joking. If the people would not praise God, God can make the stone cry out. In the Old Testament, in
Numbers 22, there is a prophet, Balaam, was asked him to curse the people of Israel. But whatever I put in my mind, God, I will say three times. But three times, he wasn't able to do it. And the third time, he was riding on the donkey. But he did not follow the main road, but he went into a small road. And then he continued to run. And so his leg was hurting. He hit the donkey. And God caused the donkey to stop and told him, "What did I do to you that you hit me? Is that strange? The donkey can speak human language. Nothing is so hard for them. Nothing." And so God can cause the rock to praise him. If the people do not praise, if you and I do not want to praise the Lord, God will have made others to praise God. If we can glorify God, others can glorify with different situation, and we are losing the blessing. And in the Old Testament, God had done many miracles. When Samson fought about the Philistine, he caused hatred to the Philistine because they burned all the farms there, all the fields of the Philistine. And so he was tricked by, he was so angry and he burned all the fields and Philistine, 1,000 to catch Samson. And he only used a donkey to kill 1,000 Philistines. And so he was so angry. He said, "You have used this head of the donkey to kill 1,000. Now I'm so thirsty." He was so tired. And I joined a hosting him, but caused the rock to split up. And it's Lehi. And the Lehi rock, the water clean out. And from there, it become a stream. And they named the stream En Hakkor. That means the praying stream. Flow being stream on there. He did so many miracles. In the wilderness, there was no water. And the forest, the rock there split so the water can come out for the people to drink in the wilderness. And so, there's nothing hard for the Lord. Martin Luther said one thing like this: "I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I will possess." God gave us finances, the ability, different opportunity. We can lose them. But if you dedicate them to the Lord, you will have it back. And here is something the Lord to remind us. This donkey has prophesied. That is just, but this was prophesied. This donkey participated to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus riding on this donkey. Do you have think? Do you think that the prophecy you have for us? Many. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." These are the things in our families, in our environment. God has prepared the good works for us according to His will, so we can do it to glorify God. Do we fulfill that prophecy in our lives? May the Lord have mercy so we can become to fulfill the prophecy for each life of our life. I'd like to end with this story. And this is a great reminder for each one of us. This is
true story by a doctor. He recounted. This one is a pediatrician, David Carrier, tells a true story of a little girl in this last Sunday school class. Sarah's parents were new to town, and she was just getting to know her classmates at church. His wife had prepared a lesson on being useful and told the children that everyone can be useful in serving God, because God can use anyone. There was a short moment of silence, and the little girl named Sarah spoke up. "Teacher, what can I do?" She said, "I don't know how to do many useful things." This is a question is surprise to the teacher there, Miss Carrera. She had not expected that kind of response, but she quickly looked around and spotted an empty flower vase on the windowsill. "Hey, Sarah," she said, "you can bring in some flowers and put it in the vase. That would be a useful thing." Sarah frowned, "but that's not important." "It is," her teacher said, "if you are helping someone." Following week, sure enough, the next Sunday, Sarah brought in a few dandelions and placed it in the vase. In fact, she continued to do so each week. Without reminders or help, she made sure the vase was filled with some bright yellow flowers. Sunday after Sunday, when her pastor found out about it, he put the vase put it in the main sanctuary next to the pulpit. That Sunday, he gave a sermon on the honor of serving others, using Sarah's vase as an example. The congregation was touched by the message. The week started on a good note. 2 weeks later, Sarah's family discovered she was so proud. She was being used in her sermon. Everybody got moved by that example. 2 weeks later, Sarah's family discovered her leukemia getting worse. And David Sikera was her pediatrician, and he did his best to explain to Sarah's parents that nothing could be done to save her life. And so the family was worried. And when the doctor came to the family, he said, "I don't think I have ever had a more difficult conversation than the one that night." He said, "This is the end. There could not be anything more can be done." Eventually, Sarah became confined to bed and saw the visits that many people gave her. During that time, in a few weeks, she could not come to the sanctuary to worship. She lost her smile, she lost most of her weight, and then the end was near. And so her health deteriorated quickly. And one day, at the end of the sermon, the pastor suddenly stopped speaking. His eyes wide, he stared at the back of the church, and everyone turned to see what he was looking at. It was Sarah. Her parents had brought her to one last visit. She was bundled in a blanket, a dandelion in one little hand. She slowly walked to the front of the church, where her vase was still pushed by the pulpit. She put her flower in the vase and a piece of paper beside it. And then she returned to her parents. And 4 days later, Sarah died. And the pastor was moved by that ceremony. After the funeral, the pastor showed Dr. Satira the note Sarah had left. It says, "Dear God, this vase has been the biggest honor of my life." Sarah. Signed Sarah. Sarah did not do great things, but she could do what she could to glorify God. What can we do for the Lord? There are many things we could do more than what Sarah did. We know how to try. We know how to earn money. We have the ability. We know how to see. There are many things we can do. We follow the example of Sarah. Whatever that we put in God's hand, we will possess it back again. That the Lord can do all that we can. Because whatever we have gave to the Lord, you feel that the chair, we can feel that the song that we praise is the greatest honor in your heart. We can feel that the song is the greatest honor of somebody's life. That the door, the thing that I clean is the greatest honor that we have to give the congregation. God gave us everything, but only if we dedicated that to the Lord. God can use our possession if we lift them up to the Lord. God can use our ability, our skills, if we can use it for the Lord. God can receive our love when we express our love toward each other. But your life and mine, to be the same as the disciples, to praise the Lord. Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory on the highest. May the Lord bless all of you. Let's all stand. We will read the key verse. Let's read together. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We are thankful, Lord, for this lesson. He did not count us as worthy. You have agreed to buy with a great price. We are thankful because the honor to become your children. Well, thank Jesus, because you gave us the key of heaven. She said, wherever you open, it will be open. Wherever you close, it will be closed. Oh, dear God, who am I, Lord, that you have favor on us with this honor? May our life to see all that you have given us opportunity so that we can participate to live up what we have before you. We have been tied by the cords that related to this world that caused us could not see the value of us before you. Many times we say things that hurt our fellow brother and sister that we invest in this temporary world. May we use our learning in a way pleasing to you, Lord. May you have mercy on us. Forgive our sins. May myself and our children here, we promise that the rest of our life we have to live that the days
in a way glorify you. May you forgive our sins so that we will be worthy of your love, that we can be used by you to glorify you. We are thankful for this lesson this morning. May you can continue to be glorified, that our shame will be ours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.